This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's not the Cape Cod of the Patti Page song or of tourist Facebook photos. A series that ran this week in the Cape Cod Times newspaper exposes the underside of the beautiful vistas and seashore scenes. A huge and growing epidemic of young people on the Cape abusing prescription drugs, and that can sometimes lead to heroin use and death. Cape Cod Times reporter Casey Myers wrote that series of articles about drug abuse on the Cape, and she's with us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Casey.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Casey, tell us first, how did you learn that there was a severe problem of prescription drug abuse among kids on the Cape?
Well, my current job right now is covering police and fire stories, and so I immediately began to notice a lot of arrests for property crimes, and the people being arrested were young people. And then I started to see a lot of possession of Percocet charges, distributing, trafficking Percocet, Class B substances, which are cocaine. But it also became clear that there was really about prescription drugs that a lot of the arrests were coming from, and the ages were very young. And also we began to hear, just because we live here, people we knew, people who were victims of crimes, who we worked with, it just became very clear that this was all going on around us. And it was surprisingly easy for me to land my first interview with two very key people who became a key part of my story, and they just opened my eyes so wide. I'd never in all my 15 years of being a reporter had such a big learning experience in one interview.
So good, solid reporting that involved, you know, looking through data and then talking to people led to your series. And we're going to talk more in a few minutes about what your reporting found. But first, we want to hear from someone who's been directly affected by the rise of drug use among young people on the Cape. Patti Persico's daughter, Alicia, was an honor roll student and cheerleader at Sandwich High School when she became involved with drugs. She had just started her freshman year at Keene State College when heroin took her life at the age of 19. I spoke with Patti Persico earlier today, and I asked her to tell me about her daughter, Alicia.
She had a very normal growing up, just like everybody else here on the Cape, the beach in the summer. She loved basketball. She loved to play soccer. She did a little cheerleading. She was just an easygoing person. She had a lot of friends. She was funny. She was very, very hardworking, I'll say that. And she just enjoyed life and enjoyed being a kid.
As I hear you describe your daughter, you know, this athlete, this good student, this great personality, it makes me think that, you know, most parents probably think, this couldn't happen to my child. Look at my child. You know, my kid has his or her act together. How did Alicia go from an honor roll student to someone who was using heroin? How did drug abuse start for her?
Well, I think it probably started when she was around 16, from what I've been able to backtrack and find out as time has gone on. And at the time, the town was pretty flooded with OxyContin. We had a doctor that was really overprescribing, and I don't think that the kids really thought that they were taking anything deadly or that could eventually be so addictive. I think it just sort of flooded the high school, and, you know, she and her friends, you know, tried a couple of them. And from there, she was also in a pretty bad car accident. She just got her license, and she had a broken pelvis, and she was in the hospital, intensive care. And by the time I got to the hospital, she was already on a morphine drip. And when she finally healed up enough to come home, they sent her home with quite a hefty amount of Vicodin. And because it was a prescription drug, I really didn't see that it was going to be, you know, a threat or a danger to her. I figured if she was in pain and it was prescribed, that, you know, obviously I didn't want her to take more than she should, but sort of that's, I think, how the ball got rolling.
Did you have any idea she had started using drugs? Were there any tip-offs that her behavior had changed, anything like that?
No, I mean, she really worked hard. On the weekend, she worked at a little pizza parlor, and I think, you know, in perspective, I think that I don't want to, you know, implicate that particular place, but I think that there were older kids working in this restaurant, and they were also influencing her with drugs.
And at what point, when she was in high school, did you find out that she was using drugs and may have a problem?
Well, I found out really probably when she was about 17. She was at work, and she was really sick at work. And I took her to my doctor, and they took her up to Jordan Hospital. And when she was drug tested at Jordan Hospital, she was positive for opiates. So I found out at that particular time. And I really didn't understand opiate addiction. I mean, I didn't think of it as heroin. I don't know why, but I just thought like opiate, like smoking opium, or I don't know.
Was that a shock, that discovery?
Oh, yes. Yes, completely. And, you know, she was, you know, supposedly a one-time deal. And, you know, we got her into a counseling. And after, you know, meeting with the counselor for a certain amount of time, deemed that she was doing so much better, and it was just an experimental thing, and it was, you know, something that she was putting in the past. But really, opiates are so strong of an addiction that you just really can't kick them on your own.
And treatment can be extremely expensive.
It can be expensive. It absolutely can, and there's no guarantees. I mean, a lot of kids have gone into treatment and had success, and a lot of kids have gone in and haven't had success. So it's a, you know, I'd like to think where Alicia wanted so much, she really wanted to turn her life around. She had the desire to want to not be in that world at all.
For parents who may be trying to figure out if their kids are abusing drugs, what advice can you give them about when your teenager may just be acting like a sort of typical surly, uncommunicative adolescent, and when that kind of attitude actually indicates a kid who's using drugs?
Well, you know, that's a very hard call, because the trick with opiates is that once you're addicted to them, you actually take them to feel normal. You're very sick, and you're actually grumpy and surly, and, you know, are not sleeping properly and have all kinds of withdrawal. That's when, you know, maybe your antenna would go up. If you really see your son and daughter all of a sudden switching from being this rather pleasant child that, you know, teenagers can be, you know, so pleasant, to really just all of a sudden, you know, the language is wrong. You just have to, I mean, looking back on it, I thought, gee, you know, why are you acting like this? But I didn't put it together with prescription pills. It was really the last thing on my mind.
Alicia died about 5 years ago, I believe.
It was 5 years ago yesterday.
With that kind of time having passed, do you have a sense of what needs to be done to keep more kids like Alicia from becoming involved with drugs?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm an educator, and I believe that it has to start really early on, middle school, 7th grade, 6th grade, and the kids really need to be educated as to what these drugs are. Prescription drug abuse has to be written into the curriculum, or else teachers just don't have enough time to get to everything. But if it's, you know, mandated that they have to talk about it, then they have to talk about it. And it's never too early to talk to your kids about prescription drug abuse.
So a very early message that just because it comes in a prescription bottle doesn't mean it's fun and games.
Exactly. And they really, I mean, you hear about, oh, heroin, and, you know, you see, you know, somebody very downtrodden, and, you know, that's just the way it's portrayed oftentimes. You would never see a preppy kid, like my kid was very preppy looking. You wouldn't put that face on a heroin addiction at all. And people would look at their kids differently if they, you know, saw that and said, well, my kid could potentially be into that.
Patty, thank you for talking about your daughter, Alicia.
Thank you so much for giving me the time, and I just hope that more and more people start the conversation. That's where it really begins, is just get the message out that, you know, these pills are out there, and they are deadly, and they're highly, highly addictive.
That was Patty Persico, whose daughter died 5 years ago after becoming addicted to prescription pills and heroin. Listeners, do you know someone who's died of prescription drug abuse? Or have you struggled with prescription drug addiction yourself? Do you think that prescription pills are too readily available to young people who abuse them? And do you think that prescribing drugs is appropriately monitored in Massachusetts? We want to know what you think about this issue. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And again, with us is Casey Myers. She's the Cape Cod Times reporter who wrote this week's series on prescription drug abuse. She's with us by phone from East Ham. Casey, one thing that surprised me about your series is that you write, while there's been a drop since the mid-1990s of teenagers abusing drugs like cocaine and LSD and ecstasy, there's apparently been quite an increase in the abuse of prescription drugs. So why are we seeing this switch of teens turning from illegal drugs to legal drugs that they use illegally?
I think basically it's because they're so available. and they seem so innocuous. A lot of the people I talked to who either lost their lives or are in recovery, who are now in their 20s, said one day their dealers, their marijuana dealers or their cocaine dealers said, oh, I have these pills. Why don't you try a Vicodin or a Percocet? And obviously, once you start it, as Patty said, they're very addictive. But I think they were just everywhere. They're just in the high schools. Every time you get your wisdom teeth out, you can get some. And then there's something really shocking called farming that Detective Chris Kent will probably talk about. Where
this was a jaw-dropping part of your story, at least for me.
Me too, when I first heard about it, that kids will get whatever they can from their family medicine cabinet, dump it in a big bowl, and then everybody just takes a few like they're candy, and you don't know what you're getting, and you mix them with other things and with alcohol, and it's just frightening.
I want to add another voice to the conversation, and this is Police Detective Chris Kent. He's joining us from Yarmouth on the Cape, and Detective Kent investigates drug crimes on the Cape. Detective, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
You were quoted in Casey's stories in the Cape Cod Times as saying bluntly that prescription drug abuse is, in your words, an epidemic on the Cape. How bad is it, in your view?
Yes, and my 21 years of being a police officer, and seven of those years have been spent working narcotics, this is the worst epidemic I've ever seen of any drug since I've been working in this profession.
You probably just heard Casey Myers talk about farming, so-called farming, which is pharming, where kids throw a bunch of prescription pills in a bowl and sort of take them out randomly and pop them. Casey also mentioned that police now have medicine identification books in many of their cruisers because they come across pills so often on their calls, they have to be able to ID them. How often do you see this kind of thing, the farming? How often do the cruisers have medicine ID books? Is that just the normal course of business now?
It is. It's a normal course on a daily basis. And as was said, you know, when you asked the question in reference to why these kids start with it, well, it starts right in your own medicine cabinet, right in your own home. And the reason for part of it is right away, you've got a free drug. It's right in your house. You go into your medicine cabinet, you take it out, you now have a free drug. A lot of prescriptions don't get used all the way to the end. If you have a prescription of 30 or 40 pills, the person that may have been taking them may have only taken 10 pills. Now those other 30 or 20 or 30 get in the hands of those children, which then go to these parties, and these kids start with putting them in this bowl called the farming. And again, they take them, while they're drinking, they're not sure what they're taking. But when you do take those pills, taking that one pill could be the last pill you ever take. You just don't know what it is. And that's where the opiate addiction comes into play, because some of these pills that are basically opium, when you take them, they're highly addictive, they're very highly addictive. And now you can't stop taking them. I've had children, when I say children, I'm talking teens, tell me that they took the drug for the first time, the opium, the Oxycontin, or any type of opiate, and they say that they couldn't wait to take it the next time.
Detective, we have a caller who has, a story almost exactly that mirrors what you're talking about. This is Joanne from Yarmouth. And Joanne, I understand you have a daughter that you describe as an addict.
Yes, I do. I have I have two daughters that have mental illness, and this is my youngest, who's now 20, and she's developed an addiction over the last 3 to 4 years. But her addiction began by using her own medication that had been prescribed to her, Adderall for ADD, ADHD. And this is one thing that I didn't see in the paper, that a lot of kids are on medications now that they certainly can get high on if they're misusing them. And she was taught by a friend to cheek her medication, not swallow it, save it, and then to open them up, create the power, and to snort it. And she thought in the beginning this was just a way of fitting in with her friends. And now she's a full-blown addict. She's in a program, and she's struggling every day with this addiction.
Let me go, actually, thank you for that call, Joanne. And I want to go directly to another caller who has experienced what you just described in your daughter. And this is Sarah from Cambridge. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just was listening, and I feel so strongly about prescription drugs and opiates just being given to people. I feel I had excellent care after an accident I had at Mass General, but I was prescribed opiates far past the point when I should have been off them. I asked for help getting off them, and I was told just to take Tylenol, which didn't, work. And after I cut myself off them, after being given prescriptions and having the prescriptions filled without anyone questioning it, I went into a serious depression.
Sarah,
as a result of their withdrawal.
Thank you for being willing to talk about that. And Sarah, let me go to Casey Myers, who's the Cape Cod Times reporter who wrote this series, because, Sarah, you're from Cambridge, and clearly prescription drug abuse, Casey and Sarah, are problems everywhere. But your series, Casey, talks about the fact that the numbers are starkly higher on Cape Cod. Does your reporting give you a sense of why there seems to be so much more drug abuse, prescription drug abuse, among young people on the Cape?
The closest I could come, and I couldn't get a definitive answer on this, but the closest I could come was from was Lieutenant Jack Mon with the State Drug Task Force. And he said that abuse can come in pockets. And he said for some reason right now there's just a pocket of abuse going on with Percocet, Perc 30s particularly, on Cape Cod. And who knows why they landed here now. Who knows? It's hard to say. I know the North Shore has struggled. The Plymouth County struggled. The whole nation's obviously struggled with prescription drugs and still is. But why now here? I couldn't get a firm answer on that.
Detective Chris Kent from the Yarmouth Police, who's also on the phone with us, do you have a sense for why the Cape in particular seems so hard hit?
It is very hard hit. However, as Kate was explaining, it's a nationwide epidemic right now. It's just hitting the coast, and it's finally getting here to Cape Cod. So right now it is one of the biggest epidemics we've seen, but it's all over. In fact, the North Shore, before I even started getting involved in pharmaceutical drug diversion, the Essex County District Attorney's Office, Jonathan Blodgett, started a program before I even knew what was going on with drugs called the Choose to Refuse program. In that Choose to Refuse program, I now teach from 12 years old on up, and I've had actually even 8-year-olds in my class. They were the young Marines. I had them in a class where I taught them. And all I did was strictly talk about heroin and prescription drugs, the OxyContin.
Well, so 8 years old, as young as 8 years old.
8 years old on up. And that's when they should be told.
Casey of the Cape Cod Times, as part of your reporting, you actually traveled down to Florida, down to Palm Beach, to visit what you call a pill mill. And you write that people from the East Coast often travel to these pill mills to bring back prescription drugs. In fact, you give these people a nickname of their own, pill tourists. Tell us about that phenomenon.
Well, it's very strange. When I first heard about it, probably from Chris Kent, actually, and Bobby Brackett. They said, well, people go down south because there's relaxed laws about distributing prescription drugs, more relaxed than here. You can sell them out of your doctor's office, which, to my mind, certainly gives a profit motive to prescribing more drugs. But anyway, then I decided to go down there. I checked it out. There's this excellent documentary called The OxyContin Express that I watched before I went, which lays out very clearly how people fly, drive in vans, often in vans with a sponsor, who puts up the money, rents the van, allows the people to stay in the hotels, pays for everything up front, and then these people go down to Florida and kind of do a little road trip where they go from one pill mill to the next, and these pill mills allow you to get prescriptions for very large amounts of narcotics, like 250 pills in one go, and you can get three different sets of them. You can get, 250 Valium, 250 Perc 30s, 250 Xanax, and then go to the next clinic right down the street and do the same thing. And there's no laws in Florida stopping them from doing this. Actually, there are now, but they haven't gone into effect yet.
Casey, you also write about doctor shopping, where people just make daily phone calls, multiple phone calls to specialists, second opinions, whatever it takes to find someone who will prescribe. Now, Governor Patrick, as you probably know, recently signed legislation that would strengthen the state's prescription drug monitoring program to try to stop doctor shopping. Do you have a sense of whether that will help reduce the amount of prescription drugs available that can be used illegally?
I do think it will. Because in states like Kentucky and Tennessee and Ohio, where they do have good prescription drug monitoring programs, it has reduced it in the state. But then that's why they go to Florida, because they have a good prescription drug monitoring program. I think the key for the whole country is going to be addressing the actual reason why people abuse the drugs in the first place. Because if they want these drugs and they're out there and they're powerful and they certainly work and they certainly hook people in, there really has to be more addressing the need, why people would look for them in the first place.
Casey Myers, your series also talked about the impact of this drug abuse being far beyond just affecting the teenagers who are using the drugs. It also affects the community. There's been a rise in house thefts and home invasions and armed robberies. Detective Kent of the Yarmouth Police, can we directly link this rise in crime to people who are looking for drugs or looking for money to buy drugs?
I'd say 99% of it. 99% is opiate drug driven. There hasn't been a case that I've covered aside from working narcotics. I do work general detective work. And I would say 99% of the crime that I'm dealing with, all my armed robberies, my stabbings, your shootings, your home invasions, your house breaks, all your thefts, are all 100% geared behind individuals who are opiate addicted or have a drug problem. The only way to support this drug problem is to go out and steal and pawn off whatever you're stealing, which is usually your TVs, VCRs, all your home equipment, and they're being given to pawn shops. Therefore, you can support your habit, and they do it on a daily basis. So they'll go out one night, break into houses, get enough to go turn that in, get the money, buy their pills, go back out the next night, and continue that process every day.
So the impact is clearly more than just on the health of kids. Detective Chris Kent of the Yarmouth Police, you investigate drug crimes with the Yarmouth Police Department. Thank you for coming on Radio Boston. And Casey Myers, you're the author of a Cape Cod Time series on prescription drug abuse by young people in the Cape. You can see that series at our website, wbur.org/Boston. Casey, thanks for coming on Radio Boston, and thanks for the good reporting.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.